only we could all find time to focus on what we're doing, to really be present in the moment, perhaps our lives might be better. Perhaps we might feel happier. Perhaps even politics might work better. Mindfulness. Anybody who's anybody is doing it, including even quite a few MPs.
Every so often, the Speaker, John Bercow, gives those who live in Westminster tips on self-improvement.
You're yelling across the chamber! Be quiet! Quiet! Calm yourself, take up yoga! Mr. Ed Miliband.
But increasingly, MPs are turning not to the downward-facing dog, but something called mindfulness.
So a really good starting point is just to feel your feet on the floor. So to let your heels and the spread of your toes, just let that come into your awareness so you feel the sort of grounding quality of the feet on the floor. So my name is Chris Cullen and I work at the Oxford University Mindfulness Centre. And I was previously a school teacher and more recently have been involved in teaching the classes here in Parliament. So mindfulness is a training of the attention. If you train the attention to be more steady, more grounded, and less reactive, that has big implications for mental health, as well as for performing more skillfully in a more focused way.
Like yoga, mindfulness descends from ancient religion.
Okay, so welcome again from me. I'll say my name again, Subhadra Bhatti. So today we're going to learn a practice called the mindfulness of breathing.
So I'm Subhadra Bhatti, that's my Buddhist name. I'm a member of the Tri Ratna Buddhist Order, and we're in the small shrine room of the London Buddhist Centre. So the Buddha practiced and taught a meditation practice called the mindfulness of breathing over 2,500 years ago. And, well, the Buddha said that if we want to live a truly human life, a life that's going to be fulfilled, enriched, we have to, one of the key qualities is awareness or mindfulness.
Of course, mindfulness doesn't need to be religious. Chris Ruin MP is bringing a secular course in mindfulness to Parliament.
We've had four sessions, 7 weeks long, and over 70 MPs and Lords have participated in that.
Well, we're in your office, Chris. I mean, the day's workload is kind of arrayed around in piles of paper. How does mindfulness sort of affect you in your work? How would you use it in your work?
In the chamber, when speaking, to ground yourself, feel your feet on the floor, to centre yourself, so that you don't rush, you don't pile it on, you try and speak in a more considered way.
And do you notice colleagues employing these techniques?
Yeah, just some colleagues actually now after they've been attended the mindfulness sessions, take their shoes off and feel their feet really hard on the ground, really just to centre themselves, to ground themselves in the present moment.
Before speaking.
Have you ever tried throwing a stone into a very still, clear pool of water? If you have, then you'll have noticed that as soon as a stone hits the surface, it creates sort of ripples.
Mindfulness is quite the rage. From his base near the crashing waves on the Californian coast, Bristolian Andy Puddicombe teaches mindfulness through his Headspace app, downloaded over a million times.
Most of us have experienced it at some stage in our life. It may have been hearing a piece of music. It might have been when we were watching a sunset. It might have been just a moment shared with a loved one. The problem with it is that those moments tend to be quite few and far between. Really, we're just talking about building up a stability in that, a familiarity in that feeling.
Celebrities, business people, sports stars like Novak Djokovic all use mindfulness, but that is no guarantee that it actually works.
All of what we're discussing now has been measured, and it has now been accepted by the National Health Service as a treatment for repeat episode depression for the past 10 years.
So this is not some sort of religious movement by the back door. This is something that's being used by US Marines, is being used by patients in the NHS and in very mainstream schools as the ordinary craft of the mind.
Chris Cullen. But for Buddhist Subhadra Bhatti, a deep religious commitment to meditation requires some profound life changes.
It's impossible, for example, I think, to have a meditation practice and continue, say, telling lies to other people. They just simply will not go together. One of them will have to go in the end.
Sir Bhadramati, but that might be a change to public life that many would find just too hard to contemplate.
And breathe. Chris Valance reporting.